An old three-story house on the outskirts of Minsk. One of those built hastily just after the war and, as it then seemed, not meant to last, now cozily overgrown with old jasmine bushes. With it began a search that went on for 7 years, seven extraordinary and tormenting years, during which I was to discover for myself the world of war, a world the meaning of which we cannot fully fathom. I would experience pain, hatred, temptation, tenderness, and perplexity. I would try to understand what distinguishes death from murder and where the boundary is between the human and the inhuman. How does a human being remain alone with the insane thought that he or she might kill another human being? Is even obliged to? And I would discover that in war, there is, apart from death, a multitude of other things. There is everything that is in our ordinary life. War is also life. I would run into countless human truths, mysteries. I would ponder questions the existence of which I had never suspected. For instance, why is it that we are not surprised at evil? Why this absence in us of surprise in the face of evil? A road and many roads. Dozens of trips all over the country. Hundreds of recorded cassettes. Thousands of yards of tape. 500 meetings, after which I stopped counting. Faces left my memory. Only voices remained. A chorus resounds in my memory. An enormous chorus. Sometimes the words almost cannot be heard. Only the weeping. I confess, I did not always believe that I was strong enough for this path, that I could make it, could reach the end. There were moments of doubt and fear when I wanted to stop or step aside, but I no longer could. I fell captive to evil. I looked into the abyss in order to understand something. Now I seem to have acquired some knowledge, but there are still more questions and fewer answers. But then, at the very beginning of the path, I had no suspicion of that. What led me to this house was a short article in the local newspaper about a farewell party given at the Ударnik automobile factory in Minsk for the senior accountant, Maria Ivanovna Morozova, who was retiring. During the war, the article said, she had been a sniper, had 11 combat decorations, and her total as a sniper was 75 killings. It was hard to bring together mentally this woman's wartime profession with her peacetime occupation, with the routine newspaper photograph, with all these tokens of the ordinary. A small woman with a long braid wound in a girlish crown around her head was sitting in a big armchair, covering her face with her hands.
No. No, I won't. Go back there again? I can't. To this day, I can't watch war movies. I was very young then. I dreamed and grew and dreamed, and then the war. I even feel sorry for you. I know what I'm talking about. Do you really want to know that? I ask you like a daughter.
Of course she was surprised.
But why me? You should talk to my husband. He likes to remember. The names of the commanders, the generals, the numbers of the units. He remembers everything. I don't. I only remember what happened to me. My own war. There were lots of people around, but you were always alone. Because a human being is always alone in the face of death. I remember the terrifying solitude.
She asked me to take the tape recorder away.
I need your eyes in order to tell about it, and that will hinder me.
But a few minutes later, she forgot about it.
Maria Ivanovna Morozova Ivanushkina, Corporal, Sniper. This will be a simple story. The story of an ordinary Russian girl, of whom there were many then. The place where my native village, Dyakovskaya, stood, is now the proletarian district of Moscow. When the war began, I was not quite 18. Long, long braids down to my knees. Nobody believed the war would last. Everybody expected it to end any moment. We would drive out the enemy. I worked in the kolkhoz, then finished accounting school and began to work. The war went on. My girlfriends, they tell me, we should go to the front. It was already in the air. We all signed up and took classes at the local recruitment office. Maybe some did it just to keep one another company, I don't know. They taught us to shoot a combat rifle, to throw hand grenades. At first, I'll confess, I was afraid to hold the rifle. It was unpleasant. I couldn't imagine that I'd go and kill somebody. I just wanted to go to the front. We had 40 people in our group. 4 girls from our village, so we were all friends. 5 from our neighbors. In short, some from each village. All of them girls. The men had all gone to the war already. The ones who could. Sometimes a messenger came in the middle of the night, gave them 2 hours to get ready, and they'd be carted off. They could even be taken right from the fields. I don't remember now whether we had dances. If we did, the girls danced with girls. There were no boys left. Our villages became quiet.